but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest is a sports radio host, a reporter, an anchor, a play-by-play broadcaster, Ian Ferdess. You can catch him on KJR weekdays 1 to 3. He's also on Fox 13 in Seattle. He's got a Heisman vote, and he's a good friend of this show. Ian Ferdess joining us. By the way, Washington State, his alma mater, playing a football game on the CW this weekend. Washington State playing Idaho, 7 o'clock Saturday night. College football is on. Ferdess, fresh off the air, wants to talk some more. How you doing?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a lot left in the tank after that 2-hour show. By the way, one point of correction, no more Fox 13. I'm now with the this will be year two working for the hockey team on the Kraken Hockey Network.
Nice.
Hosting the pre and intermission and post game on the KHN, as we call it up here with the Kraken, which is seen down in Portland. In fact, I just had a conference call today, and Portland is a big emphasis for us this year on the TV. Our network spans 5 states, but I can tell you this, John, with all honesty, the Portland market is probably second only to Seattle in terms of the emphasis for the Kraken and what we do on TV with our NHL team up here, which is a kudos to the great fans of hockey down in Portland, not just Winterhawk fans, but hockey fans. So excited about year two coming up.
I'll tell you the difference, though, between Portland and Seattle. I don't hear people clamoring saying, let's steal the Kraken. I hear people in Seattle saying, let's get the Blazers. Tell us how that has been for you on the air in Seattle, maybe in the last few months, as the Blazers were for sale and then seemingly bought, allegedly bought by Tom Dundon, to be determined. How has that all unfolded in your world?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Just taking a step back with where we're at with the NBA, flirting with expansion for, well, really since 2008 when the Sonics left after 41 years. And, my understanding is, in just talking to people, and in fact, the people that are going to own the NBA team if and when it comes here are mostly a lot of the same people that own the Kraken, the hockey team, and run Climate Pledge Arena. And I know they've had meetings with Adam Silver, so when I hear Adam Silver say, we'll explore and we'll maybe have discussions, you've already had discussions. Like, you talk out of both sides of your mouth. But I don't think there's a huge push among most sports fans here to go, steal the Blazers or someone else. But there is a little bit of, I would just say, frustration, because it feels like they're always pushing, the NBA, specifically Silver, pushing the goalposts further and further out. We thought we would hear something at the meetings a month and a half ago that was positive. The fact that they're going to have a couple existing committees, quote-unquote, explore the possibility of expansion. A little frustrating for us up here. I mentioned on the air, and it ended up getting, and I mean, I still, it's on Instagram. I'm not a big social media wizard and certainly don't get that kind of, push sometimes. But, John, I think we're at 103,000 people have viewed the thing already, talking about it up here, and most of them seem to be from Portland. Me and others aren't saying go steal the Blazers. I never saw, and I never said, hey, the Blazers, I think, are going to come here. To the contrary, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think, and you know this as well as anybody covering this league, this is how they operate. As long as there are struggling franchises, whether it's ownership, building, combination thereof, attendance, and they have the opportunity to have a leverage city to use against those teams and cities and communities and public entities and governments, they're going to do just that. And, Portland hopefully has solved their issues. We can talk about the owner who is not well-liked in the NHL circles buying the Blazers, but as far as the Blazers coming here, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I would think there's a stronger possibility a New Orleans Possibly at some point, maybe, if they don't want to really expand, might be in play, but I don't think Portland's going to come here. But obviously, Seattle's a leverage city. They were a leverage city without a building, John, in 2000 and what was it, 10, 11? I guess it was, right, when Sacramento was in all kinds of peril with the Maloof brothers, and they used Seattle as leverage then, and we didn't have a building. We had Key Arena. Well, now we have a building that's world-class. Your listeners know they came up here for NCAA tournament games last year. When the Ducks played, and they've seen it for Kraken games. We know there's a lot of people come up for that, too. So we have a building. We are leveraged. Here we are.
Ian Furness with us, KJR in Seattle. You mentioned Tom Dundon, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes owner. You said not well-regarded in NHL circles. The people in Raleigh seem to like him because their team is competitive, but what is the scuttlebutt on Dundon?
Big difference between fans liking an owner because they're winning, and like let's see how it is if they're not winning at some point. First of all, now they've got a good team, good coach, but they've been cheap, and he's regarded as a guy that doesn't like to spend. I mean, I'll be honest with you, we have arguably the best play-by-play voice in the NHL, local play-by-play voice, also does national work in Johnny Forslund here in Seattle, where I'm lucky enough to work with him 80 times a year. He's awesome. Well, we got him here because Dundon didn't want to pay him anymore. And, you know, it would be the equivalent of Dave Niehaus when he was with the Mariners and them saying, oh, we're not going to pay you anymore and you're going to walk. I mean, that's what happened. Front office, and more specifically, like, people that work in the office, he's not well-liked. He doesn't spend a lot of money. It's a salary cap league, so, you know, when we talk about owners that are frugal or cheap, what have you, it's all relative, right? Every team in the NHL spends to the cap, and it's a hard cap. It's like the NFL cap, but it's more off the ice what he does. They're winning, so that cures all ills. We know how that works, but he was voted as the worst owner in the NHL by player agents, for example, and you know, we take that for what it's worth, but that does come into play. Signing free agents is a hard thing. You know, they didn't want to sign Rantanen last year. I mean, there's things that have gone on that they've kind of been, you know, not considered to be great with this guy. So maybe he'll be better. I see that, I believe, right, he might be the primary guy, but there's some local investors too, which would be good. I think you need that. It's an odd, and John, I think it's an odd one. Like the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes buying a team in Portland, that seems odd to me as well. But hopefully it'll solve a lot of the problems you guys have down there, because it's been far too long that franchise has been where it is in terms of limbo with ownership. And I know people don't like Jody. I get that. She's fine for the Seahawks, but she's not an NBA fan. She's an NFL fan. And if you can get rid of Burt Cold, I think you and I would both agree that's a good thing.
Ian Furness with us, KJR in Seattle. I want to pivot a little bit to college football. Washington State's got a new coach in Jimmy Rogers. They'll be on the CW this Saturday night, 7 o'clock. You know, I'm hearing from a lot of Washington State fans who are going, yeah, I want to support, but it's a long way to drive to see him play Idaho in a non-conference game, and they don't like the schedule. How are you feeling as a Washington State alum about this season?
It's a weird year. It's just a weird, strange year for us, because it feels like it's just kind of a basically a full season of exhibition games that don't really matter. I think it's an important year for Jimmy and that program to kind of get themselves on solid footing. But they're not playing for anything, you know? I mean, John, I know you and Wilder on podcasts, you guys talk about these things all the time. They're not playing for anything. There's no path to the college football playoff. I guess maybe you could make the argument if they ran the table, you know, that would include a win at Ole Miss, for example, then maybe. But they're not in the Mountain West Conference. They're not in a conference. They're playing Oregon State twice. The road schedule is actually fairly challenging. They also play a really good group of five school and on the road, too. They play Virginia at Virginia. But they're not playing for anything truly this year. Next year, I think it's a different deal. Now, there will be, you know, people that when they hear that as Cougs fans, they're big supporters. They'll bristle when they hear things like that. But I think it's the reality. I mean, I'm excited to see what Jimmy does. I'm excited to see, you know, I think we've upgraded the coaching staff, or certainly the head coach. I think we've got a guy that's real, not fake. I think we have a guy that has a plan, doesn't mind being in a smaller market, smaller setting. and has a little chip on his shoulder, and he's going to, you know, play, have a different offense, like a real offense, instead of, you know, we've gone for forever with these weird different offenses. It's one thing when it's Mike Leach calling the plays, but it's another thing when it's, you know, Ben Arbuckle, and good luck Oklahoma fans, for example. But I think it's just a strange season. I'll be jacked. Can't wait to watch the first game. Idaho's an interesting matchup with their coach and their coaching staff. Has a lot of Seattle ties. Sheldon Cross, who was a high school coach here, former grad assistant at Wazoo. Thomas Ford. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup, but I just the year itself is going to be strange.
I am looking at the Pac-12 rebuild, and yeah. I think there's a lot to be excited about with Boise State and Gonzaga, especially the brands that are coming in. You can see all the brands that have value are gathering in one place in the group of six. They're trying to get Memphis. They're trying to get UNLV. How important is it in your mind that the Pac-12 champion in 26, 27, 28, 29 is a playoff team and a contender that validates the Pac-12, or does that matter in your world?
Well, I think it's really important. I mean, you know, they're not going to be, I mean, you would know this better than me, but I don't think that they're going to be let into the so-called, you know, Power 5, Power 4 group anymore. I know that's not what the Pac-12 is anymore. Which is, you know, I mean, I think that's what they're striving for, but, you know, I don't think they're going to have a seat at that table necessarily. I've thought about that a little bit, John, because I wonder what's best in 2026, 27, et cetera, for the new Pac-12. Is it best if Wazoo or Oregon State were the league champions, conference champions? Or because my worry would be if it's Boise State every year, three out of every four years, if it's Boise State, are they just going to look at it like the WCC does with basketball? Gonzaga and everybody else. All due respect, St. Mary's or San Francisco, right? I worry about that a little bit. Now, with Wazoo, I mean, Wazoo's competed on the highest stages. Somebody did a thing the other day. It's a pretty interesting stat. I think since the college football playoff era began, Wazoo has a better record than like 32 Power 5 or Power 4 schools across the country, including Florida State and others. So, like, our guys have competed at the highest level, but they always did so because they were recruiting kids that wanted to play against Washington and USC and Oregon. Now they're playing against Colorado State and Fresno State and San Diego State, so it's a little bit different. So, I mean, it's a weird, strange place to be in. You and I have known each other forever. I mean, if I would have told you this 10 years ago that we're going to be in this situation, I don't think either one of us would have believed it, but I kind of hope that it's Oregon State and Washington State and Boise State are all kind of near the top of the food chain, maybe beating each other up. That, of course, won't help because that hurt the old Pac-12, but it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. I hope it doesn't turn into the WCC where it's Boise State and everybody else.
That's a good point. Ian Furness with us, KJR. You can catch him 1 p.m. To 3 p.m. there on the airwaves. All right, let me just, you know, looking forward, Apple Cup on the horizon. There are some Oregon State fans that do not want to play the Civil War. It's important for both of those schools. What's the sentiment on the Apple Cup, and where do you stand?
I've got mixed feelings on it, to be honest with you. Last year, I wanted no part of those guys, never wanted to see them again. I still think their former president, Anna Marie Casse, I understand what Washington did. I didn't like how she did it. I think that she was deceitful at the 12th hour, and I just don't like that. And, you know, I don't blame Washington necessarily, but, you know, they were kind of the final linchpin, right, to having this thing blow up. You know, Cougars win last year. It was awesome, but it was in September. It seemed strange. This year it's in Pullman, which would be the first time since 2022 they've played the Apple Cup in Pullman, but the first time it hasn't been in November. So that'll be weird. I think from a business standpoint, if we're being pragmatic, you have to look at it like, hey, if every other year Washington is playing in Pullman, it's a guaranteed sellout, it's massive for the community, it's massive for the businesses in the Pullman community, the Pullman small businesses, and so I think from a financial standpoint, it's good. Obviously, the concern is, can we always compete at that same level? I'm sure Oregon State fans have, if they're being honest with themselves, they have the same question, can you always compete at the same level as Oregon? Right, it's you don't have the same resources anymore. You know, we've always kind of been underdogs, our two schools, our two land grant schools. But underdogs in the same conference different than underdogs in different levels of conference. So I think it probably should continue just from a financial aspect, but I do worry that maybe at some point it gets a little bit out of hand, and that would be unfortunate. The Civil War, if we can still call it that, sorry, I don't hope I didn't offend anybody, but that should be played in the rain and the fog of Autzen or Reeser. You know, like, you and I were at the game, I'll never forget, my favorite Oregon Oregon State memory was at Autzen, gosh, when was that, like 04, 05, John, when, like, the fog was so thick we couldn't see the field from the press box? Remember that?
Yes.
That was awesome. that was awesome, right? I mean, that's what it was about. And, like, all the games that there's been snow in Pullman, and, you know, that's what those rivalries should be about. I kind of just like to see them maybe go back to that. I mean, I don't know, maybe with everyone going to 9 games if the SEC does that, then, you know, playing a non-conference game in November makes no sense. But I'd kind of like to see us go back to that, because September, 85 degrees in Pullman and, you know, 80 degrees in Corvallis or Eugene just doesn't seem right, does it?
And it doesn't take that much if you really think about it. If the Big Ten Conference says, look, we'll move Oregon and Washington off that Thanksgiving weekend, we'll put it a week earlier every year, and then let's slide another conference game into like week 3 or week 4, it really just opens up the schedule. It just takes a little bit of, a little bit of blessing, and other conferences do it with other rivalry games all the time. Ian Furness, KJR.
Yeah. Thank
you, my friend. Appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, John. Thanks, buddy. Good talking
to you. Good intel on the Blazers' alleged, apparent, new owner, Tom Dundon. He has a exclusive negotiating period to sew up this Blazers deal. See if he can pull it off. But good stuff from Ian Furness there on that front. Our big splash coming up, John Wilner, in the 4 o'clock hour. And you'll hear a little bit of my talk with Phil Steele, the college football magazine guru. I have a hard time with his name, Stephen. Phil Steele. Say it fast. Say it real fast.
Phil Steele.
Oh, you did it. Okay, never mind.
You got to really emphasize a feel.
Phil Steele. Because I want to say Phil Steele.
I want to say Phil Steele.
It's Phil Steele. Phil Steele.
Phil Steele.
Two different vowel sounds is what gets me. Phil Steele. In the 5 o'clock hour. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up.